Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 5:45 p.m. and that is Central Time. And today is August 31st. I'm recording a little later than normal today because we've had a crash in our server, and I can't even get into the back end of the website right now. So this is accelerating our migration into Substack, and I do hope to have the chart library up and running again in the short term. But in the meantime, it's been a bit of a scramble. But anyway, let's just plow ahead here and think about, well, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I think the first thing is Bitcoin having surged 2 days ago, then came down rather heavily in here today. It went up in enthusiasm following the court decision that basically contradicted the SEC. But then the SEC still has plenty of leeway to slow down the launch of spot ETFs. Now, I think it is quite likely when they are eventually permissioned, and I do think it is more likely than not they will eventually be permissioned, that there will be several will be permissioned at the same time. And when that happens, it's going to soak up available supply. So it is a bit of a wait and see, but at least the 26,000 level is still holding, give or take, and it's the lower side of the range. When we zoom out, well, we can clearly see that it's the lower side of the range. It's also the upper side of the underlying base formation, and it's the region of the 1,000-day and the 200-day moving averages. So it's an important area of potential support. When we then think about, well, what's going on in the oil market? Well, at the beginning of the month, over the last 3 months, we've seen that OPEC Plus have extended their production cuts, and they did it again in here today. So oil prices were up over a dollar. But the more important point is the medium-term downtrend has been broken, and there is potential for additional upside. The other important thing that didn't really have a major move in markets today is that the deposit rates in Chinese mortgages were cut. So instead of it being as much as 80%, it's down to about 25 or 30% a down payment for a mortgage. And that is aimed directly at trying to stimulate consumer demand for mortgages. And there's a bit of pressure being put on the banking sector as well to try and get credit flowing once more. But so far, it's not moving the needle in terms of activity within the stock market. Everyone wants to see a $1 trillion+ stimulus package, and so far, at least, the Chinese government hasn't been especially enthused around doing it. Then I think the other important points in here today, something that has sort of been at the back of my head over the course of the last year, is that we've been through a huge surge in 2022. Or excuse me, a huge surge in 2021, a big decline in 2022, and then some recovery. Not everything has recovered. So in the commentary today, what I've been talking about is the metaverse. And let's kick off and start looking at some of those charts. So when we look at the metaverse select index, then what we're presented with here was a big surge, then a big decline, but subsequently, this year, there's a very clear succession of higher reaction lows, and it is currently steadying from the upper side of the underlying range and the region of both the 1,000 and 200-day moving averages. So that's really quite positive. When we look at the constituents, well, you start adding it up, and the mega caps represent about half the index, and Nvidia has been really come to the rescue of performance in just about any growth index, and the share is still hovering here just below the big psychological $500 level. So it's an awfully big number to exceed. And of course, the bulls would say that Nvidia is such a promising company with such an incredibly dominant position that it should have a market cap greater than that of Apple. But that is, I would say, very bullish, particularly for a share that has already accelerated on the upside. And but we still have some relative strength for the FAANG companies. And when we look at them relative to the wider market, I think that's going to be one of the most important things to pay attention to, that this ratio is still really quite steady. And it's not accelerating higher, but it's certainly not coming down either. And until that starts to happen, then I think investors are going to be reasonably benign-minded towards the market. But then, if we look at the other half of that metaverse index, well, Snap, for example, hasn't really gone anywhere. It declined and has subsequently been going sideways, and it is currently steadying from the lower side of that range. So at least it's showing some evidence that support is starting to come through in here. Then Roblox has been a company that was very clearly associated with the upcoming young generation of people, of children, basically. And it has also embraced the creation of characters online and been holding concerts online and even having just sales of characters within its platform and trying to create a metaverse within the game. And that really hasn't transformed into performance. The share is still right in the region of the lower side of its base formation. But again, it is steadying. And we've seen several of these companies that have fallen for 6 consecutive weeks. So they are beginning to at least demonstrate some support starting to come back in. Then let's look at some of those others. So Fubo TV, another constituent of the index. This isn't exactly an inspiring story. And if we just simply look at it over the last 5 years and not consider the decline, we have to really zoom in. So yes, there is the potential that a base formation is forming, but it's got a lot of work to do. And really, perhaps it would be better to just look at it on a logarithmic scale chart to get an idea of just how much it has declined. Now, of course, the big point is that when you've had a big decline, you get very large moves from the lower side of the range to the upper side. So Fubo, having collapsed, has doubled this year. I think that's, well, I guess not since January. It's pretty much unchanged since January, but since April it has doubled. I think that is something to pay attention to, that some of these bombed out shares, they can have big moves and still be in a long-term base formation. So the thing that is really at the back of my mind is that we're probably not going to have all of these companies succeed. And there are a significant number of these high-growth companies. They crashed really in 2022, and since then they really haven't gone anywhere. And Unity Software is another one of those. Now, it has incredibly promising graphics technology. And if you want to build a game that has 2D or 3D graphics inside it, well, then they provide you with those graphics almost for free. But then you have to also deploy their adware inside the game. So that's how they make money. And it's a company that is rather richly priced, which is one of the factors that has contributed to this base formation. But it's not a company that's going to go bust. It's simply that we're seeing a process of valuation contraction. And of course, then we can look at some of the bigger companies within the fintech sector. So PayPal, for example, it's also been in this rather prolonged downtrend, and I think I would, I guess I am tempted to say this is a base formation, but it still has a sequence of lower rally highs and it still has lower lows. So what we can really then say is that potentially it's a type 2 bottoming formation, that we still have the downward bias, but it's not making big new lows. But those are big downward dynamics we've seen in the last 6 months. So what it requires is a very clear break of the downtrend, and that would be a sustained move above the 200-day moving average. And like I said, I don't think that all of these companies are going to be successful. What I'm kind of reminded of is that Highlander movie from the early 1990s. There can be only one. That we're going to see some of these companies that do well, and then we're going to see others that simply don't get the escape velocity to escape their base formations. So Block has been outperforming PayPal. It is basing, and it has held the $50 area for more than a year already. But and unfortunately, it hasn't been able to sustain moves above the 200-day moving average. But eventually, if it can do that, then it's going to start to encourage new investors into the share. So I think that what a lot of these companies probably require is lower interest rates. And when we think about the 10-year yield, well, it's still really quite steady and has not come down below the 4% level in a dynamic manner. And until it does that, then I think investors aren't going to have confidence that inflation has been got under control. The reality is that with the deficit in the USA rising and with the Treasury issuing more debt, then in order for people to really roll in and start putting cash to work in the longer end of the curve, they're going to have a lot of confidence that the interest rate cycle has in fact peaked. And I think we're not quite at that degree of confidence just yet. Now, when we look at the Nasdaq, it was in positive territory for most of the day, but wasn't quite able to hold it all the way through the end of the day. And we've had a good sized rebound over the last five sessions. And I think that now there's the possibility that we're going to see a little bit of unwinding of that very short-term overbought condition. So it wouldn't be all that surprising to see some weakness starting to come through over the next several days. But as long as it is holding this range and sustaining the move above the 14,000 level, I don't think anyone is going to be especially worried about it. Now, I still have a short in the Nasdaq. I think that it is richly traded. And with interest rates this high, that eventually it's going to have or take a toll on earnings. But there's not a lot of evidence to support that conclusion just yet. Now, when we think about what's going on in China, well, the H-share index is hovering here around the 6,000 level. And it was in negative territory the last couple of days. And it seems like every day now we have a new suite of measures that's being introduced in China. The thing to remember is that capital is both global and mobile. So when money is created in one location, then it's going to flow to the most attractive assets internationally. And China represents where the greatest possibility of a big monetary infusion is going to come in the near term. So it's certainly something to pay attention to, because despite the fact that we have tightening monetary conditions in the USA and much of Europe, if China does pull the trigger on additional stimulus, then it's going to help to reflate asset prices everywhere. And when we have such a large number of base formations evolving within the growth sector, that could be the potential bullish catalyst to pop them up out of those ranges. But of course, everything hinges on just how generous a stimulus package in China is going to be. And they really are between a rock and a hard place, because they can't afford to reflate the property market. And it's not simply about the risk, it's about the volume of cash that would be required to do that. And I don't think they're willing to extend credit to that extent. But they are not going to sit idly by and absorb a property crash. So it's quite likely we're going to see piecemeal efforts. And this is very similar to what happened in Japan. They would start off with trying to be aggressive in combating, or in trying to squeeze leverage out of the system. But then prices started to come back down, and then they would give up. And it was over generation after generation of piecemeal efforts. What we saw over decades was every rally failed. But we haven't had a rally yet in Chinese shares. So I think it is more likely than not that the prices are going to go up before they come down. Now, when we think about India, the Sensex index, I usually look at the Nifty, so I thought I'd put up the Sensex in here today. It's still consolidating and unwinding the short-term overbought condition. India is about to launch its first probe into the sun, or at least towards the sun. And that just helps to really ram home the point that the technological base within India is world class, that they're quite capable of launching space missions on their own. And I think that is certainly something that will help to bolster the reputation of the country. Now, Xi Jinping has announced that he's not going to visit India for the G20 meeting, and Janet Yellen is on her way there today. And what that also, of course, highlights is that there are geopolitical tensions between India and China, because China sees India as a competitor, but a small competitor. But of course, India deems itself to be the new kid on the block, and certainly challenging the dominance of China on the Asia Pacific rim. And of course, on the other side of the of China, you have Japan. And the Nikkei was in positive territory here today, continuing to pop on the upside here. And I think we do really need to see a lot of back history, because the nominal price has been trending higher in a very impressive manner now for a decade. And it has not yet exceeded the peaks from back in the late 1980s. But it does look more likely than not that it will. And the downtrend has clearly been broken. Now, when we think about the, of course, the index is nominal, so we need to have a view on the yen. And it has steadied up. We're certainly seeing a little pause here around the 145 level. And the dollar index was a little steadier in here today. So it was down for 2 days, and it was a little steadier in here today. And so far, it has held the move above the 200-day moving average. Now, if we're going to see continued downside for the dollar, and then an obvious boost for precious metals, well, then this very short-term jump that we saw today isn't going to last. And of course, the outlook then for the economy is going to be a big component of whether the dollar continues on the upside. So, gold prices have been resurgent over the last 5 or 6 days, and they were in mildly negative territory in here today. So, we've got a little short-term overbought condition. And silver got all the way up to test the upper side of its range, and it was also a little softer in here today. So we might just see some consolidation here, and we've had a sufficiently large move that we're probably due a little pause of consolidation. And if the dollar rolls over again, well, then that's going to provide, when that happens, it would probably be another signal to initiate a fresh long position in precious metals. Now, the oil price continues to push on the upside. It has clearly broken the downtrend. So we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. There is clearly potential that oil prices are moving higher from here. And of course, that will raise the cost of production of just about every other commodity, but most particularly the industrial resources and the softs. And this looks like a bullish chart overall. It has a clear break of the downtrend and very solid support in the region of the 200-day moving average. OPEC has the potential that it is back in the driver's seat here. If the speculation around whether the Permian Basin is in the process of peaking, then the cost of production is going to rise. And sustaining production is going to be progressively more expensive. Then that is going to give additional dominance of the market to OPEC. And they don't want prices coming below $75. That creates budget problems for just about every member of OPEC. So they're going to do whatever they can to ensure that prices remain above the $75 area. And as long as the price is holding the region of the 200-day moving average, well, then we have to give credence to the view that we're going to have a higher for longer price environment. But of course, that is something that will put upward pressure on commodity prices and therefore inflation. But of course, not core inflation. And then, of course, it's going to raise the real question. How much of the decline in core inflation has been because of the big decline that we saw in oil prices? And how much of it is because of the astute economic management of central banks? Well, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the oil influence rather than anything else until proven otherwise. So we're in an interesting environment where some of the inflationary pressures have moderated, but not sufficiently to avoid or to negate the possibility that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to raise rates. But at the same time, commodities are starting to turn around. And then when we think about the agricultural commodities, well, the Invesco Futures Agriculture Fund, which is a futures fund, continues to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows. And for a futures-based fund to trend higher, then that suggests that there's strong price appreciation. And we've seen really impressive breakouts for several of the key agricultural commodities that have global influence, particularly rice, then also cocoa, and oats have also popped on the upside. And of course, sugar is consumed in every country in the world, and it is still really quite steady. So we definitely have evidence of commodity price inflation starting to come in. And then, of course, there will be pressure to try and increase those yields. So there, if we start to see some of the bigger agricultural commodities like wheat, corn, and soybeans doing better, then I think there will be more interest in some of the fertilizer companies. Mosaic is now steadying in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. Bayer is really a play on, it's really a litigation arbitrage play. If one has the view that they have come out the other end of all of the litigation they inherited from Monsanto, then the share is probably a buy at the lower side of this range. Perhaps a less risky, from a litigation perspective, seed company might be Corteva. And that is also now coming back down to test the lower side of this range and the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So we're still not quite at a point yet where the agricultural commodities are stoking demand for this particular sector, but they are coming back into areas of potential support. So I think that's certainly something to pay attention to. Now, I do want to apologize once more for some of the technical difficulties that we're having. And really, I think it is quite lucky today that Sarah successfully was able to migrate all of the existing subscriptions onto the Substack record. So when I post the site, it's going to go out as an email. And hopefully, and this really is fingers crossed, if I've done it correctly, then you should just receive, subscribers should receive the entire comment of the day in their inbox, and pre-subscribers will just receive the abbreviated commentary. And I'm also going to be uploading the video and the audio into the Substack system. And I also saw yesterday that they have introduced a transcription service, so I'll also be able to transcribe the audio, and that will either get posted on the day of or in the morning of the day after it's recorded. So lots of exciting things happening, but I certainly want to get the chart library up and running as quick as I can, and we are working pretty much through the night now to ensure that that can get done. And with that, I'll wish all the best to all of you.